Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton, with my SEC Mike on a Twitter machine. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, baby, what's going on?
Oh, man, spring is in the air. Mm-hmm. Feeling great outside, isn't it? We got football all across the Southeastern Conference. We actually got some good clips on this episode. And heck, if your basketball team's still alive, I mean, you're on cloud nine. You know what?
Absolutely. I mean, there's some schools out there that are on cloud nine. It's just like nothing they can do goes wrong. But then there's others that's like, you know what? We need this offseason to rebuild, to bounce back. You know what I'm saying? So those are the ones that usually in here with us, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, before we get rolling, we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Shane, got to remind all the cousins out there that we are brought to you by MyBookie, the online sportsbook. Head on over to mybookie.ag. That's the website. And if you use the promo code that SEC, THAT SEC, it's right there on the bottom of the screen. Use that promo code, Shane, over at MyBookie. If you're a first-time depositor, they're willing to give you a 50% instant bonus for whatever you put in. You put in $20, Shane, they're going to give you 10 for free. You put in 100, they're going to give you 50 for free. You put in 1,000, you're a high roller like Shane. They'll give you 500 immediately with that promo code, that SEC, over at MyBookie. You can't beat it, Shane. You can't beat it.
Who doesn't like free money? I mean, these days, Mike, it's tough to get free money. So absolutely load it up, because this, we're in the Sweet 16, you know what, right? I'm saying? And you may have no investment in these teams that are in there, but you put a little money on there, Mike. I tell you what, there ain't nothing like it. There ain't nothing like it than watching some team you have no idea the starting roster, and you're just praying that they hit the over.
right. So, hey, we're gonna get it to football. We got clips and updates from all across the SEC. I really wanted to discuss the most brutal four game stretches of the upcoming season. But before we do that, real quick, let's stick on basketball, because it's Sweet 16 time, Shane. It's a magical time of the year. Just the latest odds, because we got so many SEC is dominating the whole damn thing. So it don't matter whether you want to watch Thursday or Friday. You literally cannot miss either day, because it's chock full of SEC games, Shane. Thursday, Bama favored by 5.5 over BYU. Mm-hmm. That's number 2 Bama versus number 6 BYU. So good matchup there. Florida, number 1 Florida, 6.5 favorite over Maryland, who got lucky, traveled, buzzer beater. I mean, it was cool to see a buzzer beater, but he traveled nonetheless. Arkansas, maybe the hottest damn team in a tournament, Shane. They are, they're an underdog, though, but would they really have it any other way against Texas Tech, favored by 5.5? And then Friday, we got Auburn, favored by 8.5 over Michigan. Tennessee, Shane, favored by 4.5 over...
4.
Over Kentucky, and then Ole Miss, Michigan State. Favored by 3.5. So, I mean, all these, except for the Auburn, is less than a touchdown. Wrong sport, I know. But point being, the point spreads are so close. How nervous are you? Have you considered any more of the bourbon bet? Tennessee, Kentucky. Nobody beats Tennessee 3 times, right?
No, I can't. We're crunch time. I can't put that evil mojo on this game at all, brother. So I'm leaving it. Now, I may end up drinking a whole bunch of this Kentucky bourbon if it goes the wrong way. But in the meantime, brother, let me ask you this, because we're talking about just how dominant this conference is. If you were to put a number on it, 0 to 100, that the national championship is crowned by an SEC team, where would you put this number? 0 being not likely at all, 100 being, you know, where would we be?
Great question, Shane. Why we have you on here. You just ask the best questions possible. I can't believe it, Shane. I'm dumbfounded. But Duke is actually the favorite to win it all. So
I know.
You know, if that wasn't the case, maybe, you know, I changed my tune a little bit. I still think it's highly likely that the SEC gets it done, because we got all these shots, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a slam dunk quite, but you know, that and also Houston has the 4th best odds to win it all. So we got, I think those are the only two teams other than an SEC team that can win it all. Did you say 0 out of 10?
0 out of 100.
0 out of 100. Give me 70%. SEC gets it done, I feel like.
I was a little higher, but I think Duke's just going to crash and burn at some point. They got to, Mike.
Right. Now, if you would have asked me that in football, I would have said 100 out of 100. And we didn't even get it done. You know what?
Yeah. So, hey, we're off that one for a little bit. Let's talk about this basketball we own.
Hey, real quick. Oh, I forgot about this, too. This is not SEC related, at least not yet. But the dominoes, who knows? It could. Did you see this, Shane? Where Stanford fired their head coach. There were some allegations. I don't really know the specifics. I just briefly read, you know, apparently he was inappropriate. I don't know exactly what that means, but talked down to some employees there. So they let him go. But why this is noteworthy, Shane, this is the first time ever that I've seen, that I know of, that a GM, well, first of all, do you know who the GM is of Stanford?
Andrew Luck.
Yeah, former quarterback. So this is the first time, though, apparently, Shane, where a GM has fired a head coach in college football. Happens all the time in NFL. But thoughts on that? And just, again, this has nothing to do with the SEC, but maybe, you know, maybe they look around and they say, hey, Mike Bobo, would you like to be Stanford coach? You know, coordinator, would you like to, you know, this could have some ramifications in the SEC to come. I'm not saying it will, but I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a dream job, but it is a coveted job. So I would imagine there's some big names that are going to be floating around here, but kind of curious which route Andrew Luck goes. And does he get a little more pulled just because of who he is and what they're trying to create up there? So obviously it's going to suck for the team this late into it, but it does open up the door for transfers, maybe.
Everybody on the roster is available right now.
So you better believe, you may be curious what is on that Stanford roster right now, because it may be in your SEC locker room before you know it.
Yeah, you got me thinking here, Shane. I'm going to do Stanford recruiting class 2024. I wouldn't imagine they got any studs in here, but oh, here we go. Oh, if they got a 4-star from Canada, he may go back to Canada. I'm just looking. I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm totally ignorant when it comes to Stanford football.
Oh, I know. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but it does open the door, you know?
Right. Yeah. You know, God forbid, let's hope this doesn't happen. But let's say you're thin at a position and you lose a guy in spring practice. I'd be picking up the phone and calling Stanford, you know, if you need a position there. So again, this could really help. You know what?
Yeah, game on. Absolutely. No, I think this is very interesting. But you know, I don't know. Like you said, I don't know the entire situation and you know what all happened here. But you know, this is not a ripple you were expecting to hear, and you know, right here in April almost. So
right.
I dig it, as long as it's not an SEC team, you know.
All right, no. Here's what I really. Now we can get into this meat of what I really wanted to talk about. Again, we're gonna be able to go all around the SEC here in a minute.
Yeah.
But I saw this. I thought it was pretty interesting. I don't have a clip or anything because it's from a different show. I don't want to steal their content here. But Paul Feinbaum, he was on an On3 show. And let me throw up her schedule here, because this is the highlight of what he was talking about here. But they were asking him. They said, "Hey, Paul, how about this 4-game stretch that that Florida has at LSU, at Miami, Texas at home, and at Texas A&M?" Paul Feinbaum says, "Well, hell, they're gonna lose every game." Yes. And he says that's not even a big statement. But again, he's not like guaranteeing it or anything, but that's kind of where he's at. First of all, I know you're the biggest Gator hater on this show. Not even you have Florida going 0-4 in that stretch, do you?
No, I do think that they have an opportunity to steal two here, but I would say that's not even the toughest 4 in a row. I would look at Georgia, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Tennessee as the toughest 4, but again, I'm a little biased to that big orange, I guess, but I do think that this is an improved Florida team. I do think I would have them favorites with the Miami game. I would have them close with A&M right now. LSU, Texas, that's, I feel like you're going to have some breaks go your way, but I said that last year and then LSU got beat. So I don't know, brother, it just depends on DJ's health. It depends on just how this class has stepped up in the off season.
Yeah. So if they go, cause you're not the first I've heard say that, Shane, but if Florida were to go 2-2 against at LSU, at Miami, of course, you get a bye week there. Texas at home and at A&M. If they go 2-2 during that stretch, do you think they could have an elite season? And I don't know how you define that, but let's say 9 wins or better. Do you think they can get there?
No, I think elite season, Mike, requires you to win more than 2 games. I think you got to win 3 because, again, the LSU one is the one I scratched my head. And then I said about Miami, you got Carson Beck down there. Is he healthy? Blah, blah, blah. There's going to be a lot of storylines coming into this one. But the Florida Gators, for me, Mike, to have a successful season, has to have that success within the first 6 weeks. If they just, in your comment here, go 2-2, that's just average. And that's setting up for an average season, because I do think that there's some teams on their schedule that will be better as the year gets to the end. And I feel like the pressure will be all on Billy Napier's shoulders. I know. You want so much for this program to be successful, but it is not an easy feat. I really think if they don't go 3-1 in that stretch by the standard that is expected in Florida, it will be a subpar season.
Mm. So that got me thinking. What is the most difficult 4-game stretch in the entire SEC? And I've got some candidates lined up. So let's do this one by one. And I swear we're not doing all. I mean, hell, you basically could with any schedule. But how about this one, Shane? Arkansas, just going in alphabetical here. And then maybe at the end, you let me know which one you think is the most difficult. Well, the ones I highlighted for Arkansas was Notre Dame at home, at Tennessee, Texas A&M at home, and then Auburn at home. I mean, that's tough, brother.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Golly, Mike. I mean, what are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
and even compounding it, I don't know if this is fair or not, right? But
yeah,
I think, and again, just we're recording March 25th. Things can change. I don't think Arkansas is going to be favored in a single one of those 4 games I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Again, Notre Dame at home, at Tennessee, A&M at home, Auburn at home. And if you go out and lose, hell, let's say you beat Tennessee, which revenge game, I don't know if that'll happen, but you lose all these games at home.
Yeah.
This fan base is going to be mad as hell. I mean, you can't just lose all your marquee home games, you know what?
No, I feel like there are a few swing games, if you will, that Arkansas fans look at. Now, outside talking heads like you and me, we may consider Arkansas an underdog. Hell, Vegas may even consider them an underdog in some of the matchups. But if you ask an Arkansas fan, they expect to beat Notre Dame. They expect to beat Memphis. They expect to beat A&M, even though they haven't in the last 40 years, it feels like. I do think coming into this matchup, those are the games that they're kind of looking at like swing games, like ones that we can get. Because when you get to LSU, Texas, it's like at this point, they may be expecting to lose. We always do this at the start of the season, win, loss, toss, you know? Right. And I feel like what you're talking about here is some of those toss games from a fan perspective, that if you get blown out or if you get destroyed or it's not even close, you talk about the wheels falling off. They fall off immediately for Sam Pittman and company.
Yeah, geez, Luis says, hell, they'll struggle with Memphis. So,
I mean, this is a really good Memphis team, you know?
All right, let's go. We got a lot of these. So let's go next, Shane, to Auburn, which, again, there's many candidates here. But I'm saying at Oklahoma, at A&M, Georgia, and Missouri, back-to-back. There is a buy in there. But why? And some of you may say, well, what the hell, Oklahoma? Again, I'm on record. I think Oklahoma's going to rebound. And the Jackson Arnold situation and Oklahoma, you got to remember that. I mean, they do play Michigan, but if they take care of business at home against Michigan, they're going to be undefeated, riding high. So I think this is not an easy game by any stretch for Auburn. How about this stretch, Shane? I mean, that's a damn gauntlet too.
I think the Oklahoma is very intriguing because I think it's a marquee game for both those programs. It's almost like a launch pad. Is Oklahoma going to start off, you know, with another shitty season, or is Auburn going to do that? And you know, the one thing that I'm hearing is all this good stuff from Oklahoma camps, and I'm hearing bad things from Auburn camps. Of course, it's all hearsay right now, but you know, you read into some of that a little bit. And you know, one of the things I noticed with Auburn was they got better. They improved as the season went on. So you look at a game like Oklahoma, if they lose it, yeah, you may sit there and say, well, they probably would have won it if it was week 11. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you've got that wiggle room this year with Coach Freeze. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this is a team that the standards have kind of bumped up a little bit because the expectations are there.
Yeah, no doubt. You can't afford to lose hardly any of these. Maybe Georgia, they'll forgive you, but now that's a rival. They want you to start winning that one. You know what?
Yeah, or making it competitive at least.
Okay, now this one, buddy. This might be the most difficult. We got a couple more to go, but this one is brutal, Shane. Kentucky, ooh, at South Carolina, at Georgia. You do get a, thank goodness, you get a bye there. Then you get Texas at home, Tennessee at home. Buddy. Mm-hmm. And hell, they, you know, for years and years, they're better than South Carolina. So you better win that one, and it's on the road. And they whipped your ass last year. You know what I mean? So,
damn. You may, I mean, you talk about a spiral. Right now, obviously we got some time. We haven't seen any games played. We haven't really seen anything because nobody wants to do spring practice anymore. But I think that there is a real shot here, brother, that is a start of six losses in a row for Kentucky. Mm. I mean, by November 15th, you may honestly be sitting there as a Wildcat fan, 2-7. Maybe even, dude, I don't want to be this guy. I don't want to be this guy, but I'm going to be this guy. You may even be 1-8. And what are we doing? You know, what are we going to do? We're going to sit out here and we're going to say, hey, we need more money. We need this. We need that. You know, what are you doing? 1-8. This is a tough stretch. Stoops has no wiggle room. He has nothing. He can't come out with a new quote, a new motto, and whatever. You know, there's nothing he could put on there that is going to forgive that stretch. That four-game stretch is so pivotal, and it's so tough. They're probably going to be double-digit underdogs in all four of those games.
Yeah. Well, and then if there is one that's more brutal, Shane, I may have found it. There's a lot of brutal schedules here. Shout out Mississippi State. This is so bad, I couldn't even really narrow it down, Shane. I mean, we could go the first half of their SEC slate or the second. I think I'm going to lean towards the first half. Tennessee at home, at A&M, at Florida, and Texas at home. That's where I'm highlighting, but you could just as easily say, well, at Arkansas, Georgia at home, at Mizzou, Ole Miss at home. I tend to favor the first one, but both of them, I mean, they didn't do Mississippi State any favors here.
No. What is State going to be? 4 wins? Is that what Vegas is going to have these guys at?
I mean, they were 2 last year.
Do you think
2 would be a double of the win total, you know, or the wins
right
of last
now,
year?
Mike, right now, do you think State goes over 2?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I love your confidence. I love your confidence because I think State's got – poor Jeff Lebby has got no respect coming in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He came in here and he has, I mean, they lowered the hammer on him because last year I would argue that Mississippi State had the toughest schedule in the SEC, and it's starting to look like, hell, they may have it again. And right. Yeah, no, there is no gimmies for State here. And brother, what's his buyout? You know, what's his situation? What's his financials? Does he know Andrew Luck really well?
Oh, buddy, I'm not touching that one. All right, how about this one for Oakland? They got a gauntlet too, Shane. But I'm going, I mean, the back half is pretty daunting. But I'm going Texas, you know, because just because that's such a must-win game for them every year. Mm-hmm. At South Carolina, who absolutely obliterated you at home last year. Ole Miss and at Tennessee. Yeah. And, you know, it's cheating. You know, Alabama's right after that, too. But you could say the last four, too. But I'm giving the edge just because Texas, how critical that game is for every OU fan out there to get the win. But, man, this is difficult as well.
Yeah, and it's right in the heart of their season, you know. This is another team that I feel like has to steal that momentum early. You're looking at the Michigan game. You're looking at potentially the Auburn game. You know, this is a program that really has to just kind of run right into it to have a shot at those four. Hell, those five or six, seven, I think post-Texas, Oklahoma is going to have to either A, take some huge steps forward, or B, John Mateer just be that guy. And if he is, brother, maybe the South Carolina is reachable. Maybe the Ole Miss is reachable in a rebuild. Bama, I mean, there's some folks that are talking about this may be a down year for Bama. So, right. I feel like Oklahoma, for them to make that little stretch really pay off, they've got to hit the ground running, brother.
Mm-hmm. How about this stretch for the Gamecocks, Shane? I'm going at LSU, Oklahoma at home, Bama at home, and at Old Miss. And why I highlighted this for the Gamecocks, Shane?
Yeah.
Aside from Oklahoma, you lost all those other games.
Yeah.
So even though I would say you really beat LSU, but that's neither here nor there. But that is that's the stretch that's going to define your season.
Yeah, and even that Oklahoma game, we just talked about it. You can't take your foot off the gas with them.
Right.
Thinking about the LSU-Bama losses from year ahead. But, yeah, South Carolina feels like they're always on this tough schedule list. You know, they're just blessed with it, I guess. But that is a tough, tough four right there, Mike. It's brutal tough.
And I think that's why, you know, I think Shane Beamer's done a hell of a job. But I think you see I don't know if inconsistency is the right word, but just his records there. Yeah. A lot of that's got to do with these brutal, brutal schedules. All right, two more, Shane. A&M.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't no slouch either, brother. How about at Arkansas? First time you're playing at Arkansas in I think since you've become to the SEC. At LSU, at Missouri, and South Carolina. And I really highlighted those four because three of them are on the road. And yeah, A&M has won some games on the road under Mike Elko, but I think those are games like fans expect you to win, but because they're on the road, you could drop any and all of them.
Yeah, I think that's the big one, is you start that as a road series. Florida's not no slouch. I mean, you've got them winning a national championship. So and then you got an Arkansas, LSU, and a Mizzou team, two of which have so many intriguing question marks floating around. You know, we could sit here and tell you that Arkansas is not the team, but, you know, they may arguably have the best quarterback in the country. You know, you say the same thing about Mizzou. Then you got Drink out here saying this is the best football team he's ever put together since he's been to Columbia. So, yeah, it's off-season talk, but you know, how many times have we looked at these schedules and say, hey, this team got off easy, and then we find out, oh, wait, teams A, B, and C are really good. So, yeah,
right.
That is a tough stretch, but it's more tough because it's on the road.
And I think the best example of what you just laid out, Shane, was Vanderbilt last year. That was a cupcake game, right?
Yeah.
Not so fast, my friend. They knocked off number one. But next year, can they do it again? That's going to start an incredible stretch at Alabama, LSU at home, Mizzou at home, at Texas. Brutal, brutal four-game stretch for the Commodores.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I just threw a lot at you, but of any of those, is there a tougher one, you think, than Kentucky?
No. No, maybe Florida. You know, I look at Florida just as an overall situation. But and I guess more for me is like the Miami. If Miami's a really good football team, like, say what you want. They put out last year – Billy Napier got his ass smoked by them. You know what I'm saying? And
home.
And we've seen Carson Beck on fire before plenty of times. So this is not going to be an easy, easy football game right there. And let's say by the time you get to October 11th, A&M, you know, Reed's playing out of his damn mind. There could be so many things that could happen there. So I think Florida naturally is going to be them or Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma is another one that has extremely tough four-game slate as well.
Yeah, Cousin Ken, he's a Florida fan, Shane. He says, Billy Napier's got a great road record for the home teams.
Damn. Oh, I love it, man.
Cousin Mike says, Drake's been drinking when he says this is the best team he's going to field here.
Hey, but say it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just say it. If you feel that way, then I want to hear it. If you don't feel that way, then convince me. I believe this needs to happen more. None of this behind the scenes stuff and then find out your team sucks.
Right. Well, we don't have to take the Cousins behind the scenes on this one, Shane, because you know what doesn't suck?
What's that? Old
Brunt Workwear, Shane. Head on over to bruntworkwear.com/SEC. Most important, don't forget that promo code SEC, mm-hmm. Shane, to get $10 off your full order over at Brunt. What is this, Brunt? You may be asking. These are the most comfortable, durable work boot you'll ever have in your life, Shane. Waterproof, safety toe, soft toe, pull up, lace up, however you want them. They will customize it. And of course, I really like one thing I forgot to mention before, Shane. I've got like I didn't even know this was a thing till the last couple of years. Maybe I'm just fat, which I am. But they, you know, they have like wide foot. I've started getting wide foot. Even Brunt's got, when they asked what size and everything, do you want a wide foot boot? And I got it, man. It fits me like a dream. So if you got a wide foot like me, need to get out there and probably exercise a little bit more. I know I need to do that. But if you don't want to do that, you want to work hard in your Brunt, head on over to bruntworkwear.com/SEC. Get $10 off your order. You know what?
Absolutely, man. I was at Hardee's the other day. Do you know how many nods I got? You know, that respect, you know what I'm saying? Walking in there.
Well, you know who else has got our respect, Shane?
Who's that?
Sam Pittman. One of the best guys out there, right? So
yes,
he was asked recently about all these damn fake injuries and what they're doing to prevent them. And it was pretty funny because apparently their compliance person just had a baby. So he's like, I don't even know what the rules are, but this is a great clip right here.
You know, our compliance girl had a baby, you know, so I'm not up on that current rule. Hannah did. But here's what I tell you. We don't do it. So I think there's no reason for it in the game. I think putting that on the officials is very, very difficult. And so we have to do something about it, you know, because momentum is momentum. And if somebody wants to fake an injury, it needs to cost them a timeout or whatever, you know, whatever they decide with the rule. But we don't do it. We don't teach it. So I refuse to do it. It's not part of the game. I think it taints the game. And so if that's the rule, I like it.
If only Lane Kiffin felt the same. You know what?
Yeah. Oh, man. I like it. I like it when we don't do it. Hey, you remember there was a day when this didn't exist, and it wasn't so long ago, Mike. We could go through a whole football game and say, was that guy faking an injury? No. I think we've watched too much soccer or something. But yes, I do miss that, and I feel like it's going to be dialed back a little bit this year, Mike, because there are some serious ramifications for doing it.
Yeah, and just, you know, who knows how that's going to change things to where, I mean, you could literally insert any team, but let's say Oklahoma. Let's say, you know, with John Mateer and this new offensive coordinator, Ben Arbuckle, they can really push the pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could be a difference between winning a game or losing one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think this rule is really going to help. And I just love what he said there. I mean, hell, we don't do it. And I think if you do do the game the right way, like they're doing, then this rule shouldn't hurt you. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And I have respect for coaches that don't do it. Like Sam, you know, I remember how many Alabama or Georgia games did you watch? And you're like, man, this would be a good time to fall down, but they didn't, you know, right. it's so I had the respect for the Sabins and you know, anybody that does it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then I've seen my coach do it too, you know, and I'm like, come on. But that was good timing, you know.
But you did get pretty mad when they didn't allow Tennessee linemen to get off the field against Georgia. Remember how slow they were going?
That was pretty funny. I mean, you gotta work it. You gotta work the system, man.
That's different than faking, though. You know, that's maybe not hustling.
You move a little slow. I'm starting to catch on that rule. I'm even yelling at my TV, slow down, boys. You ain't got to go that fast.
But one other thing, more football note here, Shane. Arkansas, again, we've hit this before, but they return the least amount of receiving production in the entire SEC, only 11% of their receiving production from last season is returning. Here's an update from Sam Pittman on the receivers and with that completely new look room there.
A lot different looking receiver room. You go from 6'4", 6'4", 6'7", guys, to a lot shorter, 5'9", 5'8", 6'1". So do you feel like you're going to be better, worse, or just different at wide receiver?
I think we're going to be pretty special in the slot. You know, that's not what your question was, but I think we'll be pretty special with Sharp, Shanks, and Cross Johnson. I think we'll be pretty special in there. On the edge, you know, I would say C.J. Brown, CeCe would be the two guys that's probably stood out the most right now. We need Omega Blake to keep coming on, which I believe that he will. Monte Harrison made a couple of really nice one-handed grabs the other day, but I think probably to answer your question, we're probably seven or so deep right now. We need that elite big man, whether that be Blake takes that, Harrison takes that. But we need that elite physical one-on-one presence guy. And I believe they're on the team. They just got to show up for us. I think they will, but.
Oop. So there you go, Shane. Receiving, it sounds like it's going to be better, but it better because that's the whole thing. We keep talking about Talen Green. He could be damn Superman.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anyone to throw the ball to. It's not really going to matter, is it?
No, and it felt like at times he had a little chemistry, you know, like a guy that will be reliable, that will be there. Kind of, you know, I think you always got to have a kind of a safety valve guy. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it done with a slot receiver before. So, you know, it's just working on that chemistry now is the most important thing and getting the timing down. And the more that they get comfortable with each other, you know, he's going to find his dudes. But I don't know. I like the shifty kids. I guess it depends on what you have. You know, if you have taller receivers, right. You're like, yeah, I like the length. I like going deep. But you like the shifty. It's like, you know what? I like the chains moving because that's exactly what he does. You know, he breaks that pocket. He's always looking downfield. And I feel like one of those shifty slot receivers could come in handy. So, very intrigued with Arkansas wide receiver room.
And I would say, just based on what I know of Bobby Petrino, I think this will fit his system much better.
Yeah.
Because he loves to push the ball down the field, and he loves to, you know, play with you underneath and get your safeties to sneak up, and then boom, he's over the top on you. So if you got a bunch of – and they were good, particularly Andrew Armstrong, Tesla. I mean, they had some – I'm not saying those guys were bad by any means, but – I feel like that was missing. And Satania never really came around to his full potential, I didn't think. But so I don't know. I think this potentially could be a really good thing if we have those smaller, shiftier guys. And who knows how else Bobby Petrino is going to use them behind the line of scrimmage and all the different ways you could utilize guys like that.
No, and again, I kind of like a clean slate too. It's you got to earn it. So, you know, with this spring camp and stuff like that, you know, you may have a name that you didn't have pegged as a wide receiver one, and then all of a sudden he makes a name for himself. So I think that's the best part too, is you're not obligated. You know, sometimes I feel like these coaches get trapped with a player. Maybe it's an NIL situation. Maybe it's a recruiting pitch or something like that. I just feel like when you've kind of got a blank slate, sometimes that helps the coaches out.
Someone just challenged a man they should never challenge, Shane. Jeez Louise says, where's JR? Where's he been?
Oh!
The legend JR back again. You mentioned his name. He's like Beetlejuice, Shane. You say his name, he shows up. We really appreciate you, Cousin JR. This time he's gifted Stevie G a membership. Stevie,
welcome to the family.
Courtesy of the legend JR.
It's like, you know, there's like a gator in the water, but you don't know where it's at. But JR's eyes are just back there, just watching the whole time.
Oh, man. And then he just gifted five more memberships.
Oh, come on, JR.
Shane, we're trying to put you on the spot here. But Robbie Martin, Drumline Rolla, Dalton Bennett, Nugs, and Jeremy Jones, you've all been gifted memberships. Courtesy of JR.
Welcome to the family.
Yes, man.
No, we need to put promo code JR at the bottom.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to do that.
Thank you, cuz.
I know who we won't be doing it for, Shane.
Who's that?
Let's see. Oh, my dog's going crazy here. He knew it. My dog knows anytime I mention this man's name. Here's Hugh Freeze. On his quarterbacks here.
Very, very optimistic. He's got a calm demeanor, a confidence. He understands ball, high football IQ, arm strength is good. It's a reason he was Gatorade Player of the Year coming out of high school, and I think needed a start to regain some confidence, and I think he's doing that in a fast, fast pace. He's been, decision-making has been on point. We'll watch today's film. I don't know about it, but in the previous 3 days, again, you didn't have pads on and stuff, but there's been very, very few decisions that were the wrong ones, and I think he's throwing a very accurate ball, really impressed with his pocket presence when the traffic is around him where his eyes are. They stay downfield. He uses his legs when he needs to. Really excited and impressed, truthfully, both with him and Deuce. Deuce's maturity is way farther along than what I even knew. And he is hungry to learn and always asking questions and always wanting to talk about how do I improve this and that, and is a extremely hard worker that you have to run off the field from trying to throw too much. They're getting a lot of throws because there's only two of them right now. And you got to monitor that. But I'm really pleased with both of those guys right now.
Well,
I don't care how hard you work, Mike. I care how good you are. You know,
I was just going to credit him though. I mean, he's not throwing a single one of them under the bus
yet.
Yet it is March here, but, and it's funny. I shared a video with Shane this morning. I shared it with quite a few people, to be honest with you. And the reaction was all the same. And it was just a clip. Who knows? Who cares? You know,
yeah.
These reporters only get so much access. But what they did get was a lot of incompletions, Shane. I mean, it didn't look very impressive to me. Are you buying any of Hugh's stuff? You know, they're already saying the cousins in the comments. Heard a lot of this about Peyton Thorne. Are you buying any of it?
No, because I think of last year and that quarterback competition, you know, or the year before that quarterback competition. So, and not that we have a competition here in Auburn, but, you know, when he comes out and he tells me how good, you know, Bill down in the fourth string's doing, you know, and he's getting along with him at Chow. Yeah, it's like, whatever. Yeah, I don't care. Like I said, working hard, high expectations, that comes with the job at being a Division I football coach in this conference. So I want to hear maybe, forget, I don't want to hear anything. I want to see videos coming out with hellacious catches, you know, or just scramble capabilities that we've seen him have or something, you know, because this is by far one of the best receiver rooms that you know, Jackson has been a part of. This is the best, probably one of the best receiver rooms that Hugh Freeze has been a part of. Same thing now with a quarterback to pair with it. So right. I just want to see it. So no, anything Hugh tells me, I'm one ear out the other ear sometimes.
Well, it's funny you mentioned those receivers, Shane, because he was asked about them. This might be the greatest collection of talent ever assembled.
Coach, with the wide receivers getting a lot of those guys back and then adding Singleton, what are you looking from them out of spring ball this week?
They better make plays. If that room doesn't have success, we won't have success. But it is one of the more talented rooms I've ever been associated with. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day how I would rank that room versus DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Van Jefferson, Evan Ingram. I think it's a bit early for me to put all of that on them, but it rivals it. It's close. I think, you know, even like Malcolm and Perry, who just a second year in the same system with the same terminology, doing the same things, you see them now catching on. There were still times last year, you know, that, you know, Peyton's ready for Malcolm or Perry to do this, and it may not get exactly done. And now you start seeing them executing at a better level. So we are very much dependent upon that room having success.
Hmm. Putting it out there, Shane. These receivers don't. If we fail, yeah, don't blame me. Blame these receivers.
But you know, this is the season, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, you went out, you got your guy. We gave you shit about not going out there and collecting one in the transfer portal. You mm-hmm. did it this year. You found your kid. You brought him in, and then you surrounded him by what could be very, very talented receivers and young. You know, there's still a lot of, you know, mistakes probably going to be made, and maybe that's what we're going through here at spring camp. But this is a room nonetheless that when we look back 5 years from now, we're like, golly, Auburn had those guys on there, similar to what he did to Ole Miss. You know, he was mentioning Metcalf and all those. You know, we weren't talking about how great those kids were until he left, you know. So right. Is that going to be the same thing down here in Auburn? I hope not.
And it's just so interesting though, because without a doubt, who was their best weapon last year, Shane? It was Jarquez Hunter.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it wasn't utilized. Now you got to wonder if the receivers are the best weapons.
They'll
will
probably
they be
run.
Utilized? They'll probably run into them. Like, I mean, that it is what it was, you know, but and there was never any explanation of why that was the case, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There was something weird about that situation, and I wish nothing but the best for him, because I thought Jarquez was going to be the best running back and still may have been, but you're right. They did not utilize him correctly, and there was a lot of teams in this conference. I mean, we just talked about Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin would have killed for a Hunter on his roster last year, and who knows what they would have done.
Right. Well, somewhere they did have a really good running back, Shane. That's your Vols. How about Josh Heupel? You know, one of the biggest talking points with Tennessee this year. Similar to Arkansas, they are bringing back a little bit more at receiver, but this is a totally retooled receiving core for old Nico. Here's Heupel. Would he rather have like one standout alpha, or would he rather have a collection of talent? I'm going to ask you the same thing when he's done, Shane.
Is it important that one of those guys sort of emerge as the alpha, the number one receiver or whatever, or can you be just as good like by committee?
Well, I think you got to be good by committee. If it's just one guy, they're able to roll coverage, you know, to a certain player. And end of the day, we're going to need all 11, but your wide receiver core group's going to have to to function and operate at a really high level. It's a complete unit. Expect all those guys to continue to grow. They've been really good here the first 5 days. You know, the guys that have some experience in what we're doing have played extremely well. They've grown from where they ended the season. And, you know, young guys that are getting their first taste of it have made plays. They've grown. There's a long journey still ahead for the entire group, but certainly the young guys too. But expect those guys to grow into playmakers for us.
So would you agree with that? I mean, again, it'd be foolish for me to sit here and question his knowledge of his offense and all that. But the 2 years they were outstanding at Tennessee, I mean, the 1 year with Jalin Hyatt, of course, and then the first year with Cedric Tillman, I mean, he caught like 100 passes or something crazy. And then it's been a step back. Of course, the team keeps getting better. So,
yeah,
you know, it shouldn't be the sole thing you judge it on. But would you rather Tennessee have one Jalin Hyatt type, or would you rather have a collection like he's saying?
Well, I mean, I really enjoy Jalin Hyatt. I mean, I've watched that Alabama twice, you know, this week.
Right.
So, no, I guess part of you does like to hang a banner for an elite wide receiver. But at the end of the day, Mike, you know, when I looked at the 2024 season, there was moments when I felt like Nico did take that step forward, only to have two steps back because a drop or a bad route or along those lines. So I don't want to put all my eggs in one bag. I would rather have a handful of wide receivers that can contribute at any point, but they have to contribute. They, you know, you're brought to this program and I love Hopple and everything that he's done here at Tennessee. But I still scratch my head a little bit with the offensive production we had last year. I feel like we kind of missed something.
Yeah. And they're like, geez Louise, he says four touchdowns versus Bama. No, it was five. Give him five. You know what?
Oh, I've watched every slow video that's anything that's ever came out. Sarah McLachlan singing in that one. I mean, that one was such an epic football. Hey, and we got to watch it together, Mike.
That's true. But do you think that it was part of the reason why it's regressed a little bit, because they don't have an elite receiver, and maybe this year with a retooled, like Mike Matthews back? I mean, he better play this year because he's one of the few guys they got back there. Boo Carter, Chris Brazel, who, you know, he was the talk of the offseason. I mean, they've got options. They've got some solid tight ends.
Yeah.
They're going to have options. If let's say the Tennessee receiving core is, they don't got to be as good as Auburn, like you've anointed them. But let's say they're like top five in the SEC. How good is this offense if Tennessee has a top five receiving core?
Top five, absolutely. If it's that good, I think a lot of it's on Nico. You know, I don't, get me wrong, I love Hyatt and Tillman and all these guys, but let's not forget how good Hendon Hooker was either. And I don't think Nico's hit that level or anywhere near that level yet. Do I see flashes? Do I see potential? Absolutely. But, you know, sometimes a wide receiver is only good as his quarterback, you know, and I feel like this is a marriage that needs some heavy overhaul this offseason. So I like coach's words, but again, it is coach speak. So,
Well, you know what's not coach speak, Shane?
What's that?
Public Rec. Come on, publicrec.com. Don't forget to check out publicrec.com. Put in that promo code at the checkout, Shane, SEC, for 20% off your entire order over at Public Rec. What is this Public Rec? I know it's getting warmer outside, Shane, but I don't know about you. When I wake up, it's still cold out. It's cold in the morning. It's cold in the evening. You may need you a long sleeve t-shirt and some nice pants, Shane. They look like designer jeans. They feel like sweatpants. I don't know how they do it. I don't question it. I just go to publicrec.com, put in that promo code SEC to get 20% off. They sent me some free samples, Shane. I liked them so much, I used my own money to buy more. I actually got three pairs of Public Rec pants. I got to lose some weight so I can fit back in them. But they're outstanding pants, I'll tell you that, Shane. You can customize them to the waist you need, the length you need, and all that. They got many, many different colors over at publicrec.com. Use that promo code SEC. Let them know we sent you and get 20% off your full order.
First we sell you boots, now we sell you pants, Mike.
We do it all over here. You know,
I will say this about the public rakes. Just get on the site. Just check it out. I mean, everybody wears pants, right? And if you order it, put the promo code in, it's a win-win.
All right. Hey, how about this, Shane? I didn't realize. I knew LSU was lacking last year running the ball, right? But it was at this point last year. I mean, we had LSU fans literally asking us, can we have the best rushing attack in the SEC? Remember, they had this vaunted offensive line. Yeah. They're going to steamroll everybody. Buddy, they were last in the SEC in rushing the football in conference games. They were 102nd in the country in yards per rush and 87th in rushing efficiency. I mean, it was just a complete disaster without Jaden Daniels. We knew how good he was. We didn't know the effect he would have without him running the football. But they did. They bring back Kane Durham. He's awesome. They signed the number one running back prospect, Shane Harlan Berry.
Yeah.
And then John Emery, Dr. Emery, back for a 20th year in college football. Here's Brian Kelly on all that, why the running game is going to be better. And he was asked about John Emery. Sounds like John Emery not going to be back at LSU.
Well, I mean, I think there was a couple of things. You know, we were playing young backs that were learning. You know, Josh certainly was a veteran for us. But, you know, Emery went down with the knee in camp. And you know, Josh became, you know, he couldn't be the only guy. So we had to play some younger players, and they were learning. From an offensive line standpoint, you know, we had, you know, I think more than anything else, the opportunity to be successful there. But it's about committing to it. And I think there's just much more of a commitment to it in everything that we're doing, from, you know, Alex, who's the run game coordinator, to Coach Sloan, seeing the importance of what we need to be physical up front. I think it's just a mindset that we lacked at times last year that we've really worked hard at building in January.
Coach, you mentioned John Emery a while ago. He apparently is going to play a seventh year. It was kind of unclear if that's going to be here or somewhere else. Have y'all been in contact with him?
No, we haven't talked to John about it. It was the first that we heard. We love John, but sometimes, you know, things happen and, you know, we don't know where it came from. But we'll be supportive in any way that we can. But we're set where we're at in terms of the running back position. But love John, and we'll be here to help and support him. And if he's given the seventh year, he's certainly a young man that can help somebody in the Power Four.
Jade, I'm laughing over here. Cousin Ben says he needs to make a commitment to win in the opener. Something that he's not done yet. And by God, it's probably the most difficult opener yet at Clemson, not a neutral site like they've been year after year. This is at Clemson. I'm struggling to find it. Here we go. But do you think it's that simple, Shane, where we just got to make a commitment to the running game? We've got this outstanding quarterback. We've raided the transfer portal to give him some receivers. But where are we at? And their left tackle, he projects Will Campbell as the top tackle in the draft, and Emory Jones was no slouch either. He'll probably be a high-round draft pick. Can they get better running the football without maybe the two best tackles, left tackle and right tackle combo in the draft?
Maybe. You always heard established a run to open up the pass. You know, I think in the late 20s here, Mike, I have seen the opposite. You know, look at Tennessee Vols. I felt like a lot of times they had that success because they were able to get the ball moving. So, yeah, I get the frustration of you know, not being successful with those guys, you know, at the front lines. But at the end of the day, when you have playmakers all over the football field, you'll find your lanes. And I hated to hear about Emery. This is a guy that, brother, we've talked about since this show started. It feels like this is his season, but I just kind of hate, man, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
you want to hang it up, but Coach Kelly's not ready to hang it up. It feels like they're ready to double down and have some commitment to the running game, because say what you want, Mike, to have success, I really do feel like you got to have that running game, and or at least have somebody to keep them honest.
Right. Had they just had a competent running game last year, they're probably in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of great teams that didn't make it to that next level because of that, because they got too one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm. And, when you said there, I don't know if you remember even saying it, Shane, but you just like broke my brain here. When you said in the 20s, I'm thinking, you talking about when Nick Saban started coaching in 1920, you know, but it's accurate to say, but it just threw me for a loop there.
Yeah, we're getting old, man. You know what I'm saying? Got my boots on. I'm eating McDonald's. No, the Hardee's now. I'm getting Hardee's fucking high school ball in the morning.
Hey, last one we got, Shane. We've never had this coach, a clip for him, but this is South Carolina offensive coordinator Mike Shula. Used to be Bama's coach, head coach before Nick Saban, but keys to the spring for Lenore Sellers, maybe the best player in the country. You know, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Sellers this spring in Columbia.
With Lenore, what are some of the things you're hoping that he's able to get accomplished this spring? Is there sort of a checklist of things, or is it just kind of business as usual with him?
Well, I think number one, our goal is to pick up where we left off at the end of the year, not at the start of the year, and we looked at some things in the off season that mentally and physically, looking at defenses and getting your eyes in the right place a little bit quicker and making decisions, sound decisions quicker and things like that. And then also now, because of the newness of the young receivers and the guys up front, whether or not they're rising freshmen or underclassmen, or the guys coming from the portal, there's just getting a feel for how everybody communicates, reacts, plays. And in the meantime, I do think that he has done a good job. And yet he still has a lot to learn too. That position, every position, but especially quarterback, there's so many different situations and outcomes and different looks that you can't practice them all. You try to present them all to them in the meetings and things like that, but they still come up different in the out there in practice. So you can't get enough of that.
And then one other thing, it cut off. It wouldn't let me go any longer. But he said they're really going to emphasize the fact that last year he ran. Now he's an elite runner, obviously. I think people when they see a Sellers, they think he's a runner only. He is an elite passer as well. But he said they really want to make sure he's not running the football 20 times a game. He's not a running back. He's an elite quarterback. So, you know, that is hopefully going to change in their scheme. Running as a design, not as the passing concept is not what I want, so I'm going to take off and run. So a lot to be said there, Shane. But, I mean, is it fair to say that it's hard to put so much on Lenore Sellers, but South Carolina can only go as far as he takes them?
Yeah. I mean, that I feel like that's the easiest answer right now for South Carolina is he is the ceiling. And right. As long as he stays healthy, which, you know, he had a little tough time doing last year, he stays healthy, they're in every single football game that you see on the schedule right now because he's that elite. So, yeah, I feel like this is Sellers. And that relationship's got to be tight, brother. You know, I'm not familiar with Shula that well as far as, you know, just play calling and whatnot. But I really feel like this needs to be Sellers' offense. You know, let's mold around what he wants to do and what he's comfortable, push him. Don't get me wrong, but let's don't try to reinvent the wheel here.
Right. And so Shula was an analyst last year on the staff, and Shane Beamer would have been foolish, and I'm sure he did this, but it'd be foolish if he just made this hire without consulting Sellers. This is probably the guy Sellers wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, probably
and
right.
You don't hire a guy just because a quarterback likes him. But I mean, if he's that critical to your operation and he was already in the building, he was helping along. I mean, there should be no transition. You know what I mean? So yeah, this is going to be fascinating to see because I hate to put this comparison out there because he's one of the best, arguably, to ever do it. I don't think Cam Newton, I don't think he gets the love he deserves, right? I know he does at Auburn, but, you know, Sellers has got some of that to him.
Yeah.
And I think the SEC is much, much more difficult now than it was during Cam Newton's day, but it was pretty damn hard then too. But if Sellers can reach that type of level, I think the South Carolina roster is much better than the one Cam Newton took to the national championship.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, that's again, if he just keeps making the strides that he made last season, brother, there's no telling how good he can be, because it seemed like the game really slowed down for him, and that's when he got really dangerous.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, buddy, that's all I got. Oh, they're saying maybe I screwed that up. No, I did not say that. Sellers did not transition. But anything else before they sidetrack me into saying something else ridiculous?
No. We're off the rails already. I appreciate everybody hanging out with us, guys. One of the things that we noticed when we got on here, we have 29,999 subscribers. So I hope we have 30. And if you've not subscribed, it really does help us out. If you haven't hit the thumbs, just take a second, hit the thumbs. It really does help us out. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We got a lot more great content coming to you. So just stay tuned.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you, buddy. I appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out, especially you, Cousin JR. We don't say it enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. No balls.
Bye.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.